settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Hi, I'm Sylvie Avery. Join Mick and I on the Spirits Work Show for the most unique and fascinating hour of communication with the spirit world you're ever likely to hear. Every Monday at 7 p.m. PST and Thursday at 1 p.m. PST. Visit our website at www.spirit-teaching.com to find out more about us. Buy our books online from our site. See our ever-growing list of audio CDs on subjects from this show. Have an Akashic reading from your book of life. Uncover truth and knowledge to empower you through your life. Direct from the spirit world, spirit guide Gregory Hay offers a personal reading by email. Just visit us at www.spirit-teaching.com or you can find us on bbsradio.com.
Welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. And thanks for joining us. For those with us for the first time, what makes this show so unique is that every week Mick, my husband, demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week's show is called, and you're going to love this, Gregory made this up, The Humanismist. The Humanismist. I can't even say it. Anyway, he said, what do you want to talk about this week? And he started telling me, and I said, so what do you want to call the show? And that's what he said. So there you go. I'll let him explain that away when he comes to speak to you shortly. But anyway, I'm sure it will be insights into the spirit world and into our world and anything else that's very, very, very interesting. Anyway, if you'd like to participate and call us with a question or comment when you realise what the show is about, it's toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful and ever-present and ever-growing bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, maybe book an Akashic reading, or if you need us for any of the other services that we have to offer, please go visit our websites, which are www.spirit-teaching.com and also live at www.spiritsworkradio.com. As Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, which means that I'm a pure channel for the spirit world, enabling clear, concise communication from those who continue to walk with us and who try to look after us. In this way, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they give us the benefit of their wisdom, and as a result, we can get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we may never have realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back again at the end of the show. And that is how it should be, because we wouldn't want thoughts and feelings from my own mind getting in the way of the contact of the spirit world. So that's it from me. my one little piece.
You started off with great gusto, though.
And then I got all deflated.
Somebody pulled the plug out.
Yeah, I know. That's funny. Anyway, it's how it is, because they're taking me over now, and I start talking absolute rubbish, so I'm going to stop.
Gregory, who you're going to be listening to shortly, was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s if he would like to train to be the representative of this educational group who were going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life. The group wants us to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet and to each other, and to aid us on a road to recovery. I hopefully raise the vibration of the planet in the process, along with all of our other lovely friends who are working in the light. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists and scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box, and explain situations that affect us and our future, and the future of the planet. Well, yes, and of course those who wish to come after us as well, who haven't had a physical life yet. I mean, we have to leave it in a good condition, a good enough condition for our friends that want a life. And actually, I'd just like to take this opportunity to tell you about our Akashic readings. We do have spring reductions on our Akashic readings. So if you would like to go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and have a look on the Akashic reading page and find out about that. We look forward to hearing from you. Anyway, without further ado, jibber jibber jibber. Hello, Gregory.
Hello, my dear friend. Hello. The love and light. Yes.
The humanismanist.
The humanismanist. Yes.
I hope people
you
see what I have to
do. You just
put up
have
with.
To take a deep breath when you say it.
Yeah, I said it okay then, didn't I?
You did, didn't you?
Okay.
So what is this about?
Exactly.
The humanismanist. It is what we try to bring about when we offer insight and reflection upon individuals' lives and perhaps pertaining to their journey, how they may make their best fist of it, how they may win the day. And also, we try to explain how it may be that sometimes people's own inner sight gets lost, becomes lost quite simply because others around them may well be hyperactively involved with their own inner sight and their own understanding. Their teachings may not have come from their own deep desire or searching within a self, but actually perhaps from other material or other situations they have interacted with. What you have to understand as a humanismanist is that when you struggle with precepts of life, that is, the concepts already laid down by other people and their restricted views of life, then tend to inhibit or restrict your own. As a purist humanismanist, I wish to vocate that if a being really and truly wishes to be set free, then the chalice open to one is that of self-exploration. Not necessarily to do with other people's ideals, but with how the fermentation of what you see as a being, the images, the things that happen around you, the scenes that you witness in life, become a part of that concept of realization, rather than you struggling with it because you struggle with the decisions that you make around it, you become more accepting. If you become a true humanismanist, you actually begin to see and understand these waves of, how can I say, awareness that come to one, and that you then begin to recede away from the images and other things that other people clamor for in order to try to make you see their way. This is, of course, quite a typical situation that human beings create within their own life. Now, and it's not to say that it doesn't carry on in the spirit world either. So what am I saying? Am I saying that this is a negative trait of human state? Well, what I am saying, in fact, is that if you as a solitary being, there you are, a solitary being, you are looking outside of your skin. You're looking out upon the world, and that what you see, the relationships that you have, the situations that come about because of those relationships, are usually because of decisions you make or decisions they make, activities you create versus activities they create. When you interact with people, it's a bit like jousting in the olden days, long before my time, of course, upon physical earth, but not actually that far removed. It's only the medieval times, after all. So, even when you look back at 800 years ago, you are actually seeing the exact same figurative place. You are looking at one section of people who actually are completely, one might say, mindless, that is, that they are not actually thinking about themselves overcoming anything other than the common most hurdles of the day, like trying to put bread in the mouth or trying to place food upon the table in some way, eke out some kind of living, and that becomes the commonplace virtue. Maybe even coming into that, throwing it into the mix, is the situations of love and emotion and desire, and want and need turns to greed. Oftentimes it will be that people who try to reflect upon their own images of thought, when they're looking just purely within a cell, they actually become quite comfortable, really and truly, with who they are. It's only when other people come up and say, well, no, you should be thinking like this or that, that actually people begin to get quite unhappy about themselves. I know it is quite true that I am saying here that people, perhaps many times I would say that people ought to meditate every day. That isn't because I am trying to command people to do that, but I am saying that because people, obviously, through my insights and observations of people, have such negative lives and sometimes, oftentimes, are quite lives of chaos. What tends to happen then is because I am looking and observing at these chaos, these collections of chaos which happen to human beings in their physical life, I can quite easily see that if they meditated, and meditated in a very specific way, not to music or sounds or of any kind, not to lights or colors or whatever it is, but just to their own peaceful divine within a self, then they may unleash some other part of themselves, come to the union with their own beautiful spirit. And that in itself can be the most magical union of any life. Quite simply because when you become aware of self, I know we have talked about this so often, but when you become really truly aware of self, of your spirit, it is a beautiful sight to behold. At least it should be. Your spirit certainly isn't ugly. It's as beautiful as that which is God, for it is a supreme, beautiful, pure energy form, not tainted by your physical life at all. Not one bit of it. It's not your spirit which becomes bad or evil or negative. It's your physical embodiment, your consciousness that comes that way. through your own lack of insight, decision-making processes. So being a humanismanist means to say that you become aware of these situations, of your human life. You're not a spiritist. That's something completely different. That's someone who only believes in the ascension of man. But what I'm saying is that human beings are ascended anyway. It's just they don't see it. They don't realize it because they're not in touch with their spirit. If all humanismist people, all human beings having a human physical life, were actually in touch with their spirit, you would have no war. You would have no arguments. You would have no disinterest. But you would be interested in everything, absolutely everything that you ever saw, that you ever came into contact with. If even the smallest grain of sand would be as beautiful music to your sight. Quite simply, because you would see truly through your spirit eyes. And you would become more aware of the beauty that you truly are. Not the ugly skin, perhaps, that others tell you you have. Or not worry over the color that you have. I know most people who are of any color, white, black, pink, indifferent, yellow, red. They should not worry about their own color. Because color is beautiful. In just the same way that all beings are beautiful, it matters not. I was a lily white being when I had a physical life. I had very pale skin. Hardly ever did it appear to be or seem to anyone that I was actually even mildly attracted to the sun. In actual fact, I had the skin like a moon, white and pasty. And yet, I spent most years of my physical life out in the fields toiling with my father. However, what I saw deep within me was really to do with a yearning that I wished to know more than I could possibly conceive of in my physical life. And I knew that that was the case. So now as I look observe with insight and understanding from my own physical life and also from the millions of years that I have existed, I have insight, all of that to draw from, as all of you have insight of millions of years to draw from. Insightful understanding, which can only become clouded if you listen to too many people. If you clog up your mind, gum up the works with all of this flotsam of information that comes in and that is not really filtered too much by your conscious state. Yes, I know that people will gravitate toward one thought or another and they'll think, oh yes, that's a good idea. That simply explains this or that that I've wondered of. And then you allow that situation to drop. You just go on with the next thing. What can happen, however, with some people's lives is that they become overtaken by the information coming in from outside sources. And it can be gathered too much. It can be quite simply a sort of an overload.
But isn't it good to have all of these different ideas put towards you, that for you then to see how that sits with you?
Of course.
Rather than being dictated to and say, this is the way and the only way.
Yes, yes, absolutely so. All I'm saying, however, though, of course, it is dependent, is it not, about how, in what manner of energy, in what way these differences are brought about. If they are something which are charmed to the life, that is, that they come as if from nowhere and yet they ring bells of truth within you, not necessarily because of any previous pattern that you had thought of, but actually because it makes sense. Actually because it makes complete honesty of the life. Now, you would not want to see a child who perhaps is slaughtered by somebody else. You would not want to see that child in suffering, and you would not want to see the parents of that child suffering. And yet some may well have it, that it's all part of the plan that they suffer. Well, it could well be a part of some people's plan that that is what happens to them, possibly the ones who create the suffering in the first place. But I would hazard not a guess, but a truth, that if you consulted with the parents before their child died, they would not know one whit of it that they had agreed to such slaughter of their little young loved innocent.
And so you're talking about karma there.
So I am talking, in a sense, about issues not necessarily to do with karma, but just to do with, look at the nuts and bolts of it, physical, actual life. What is it that you are creating in this physical life if you have the thoughts and feelings that everything is pre-registered, is predisposed? I'm not saying or suggesting that this is the school of only one thought. I'm just saying that the whole concept of a reality that you are not able to have any free will, or that you are not to have your own inner desires to reach the truth and the goals of your life in the way that you can, except for the fact that you are prone to the wills of other people.
Okay, so we've got free will, but we do get affected by other people, because we do get a great deal of pressure put upon us to climb the ladder of life or ascend this or that, or
yes.
It's what society dictates. And it's almost a tribal situation as well at times, isn't it?
Because, oh, absolutely so.
You know, especially if you're in a situation where there are leaders, then everybody wants to sort of like suck up to the leader or whatever, and then
get the closest.
Yes, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yes, so say the things that they want, possibly that they want to hear the most.
Yes. Yes.
And so we do have a lot of problems there. So again, with meditation, you're saying again that it's the only way to truly discover our own thoughts and our own views and the deepest inner compassion and passion about life.
Yes, and our own inner truth that really does exist. That's what I'm saying, that in actual fact. Now, if you are a person then who perhaps you are very interested in different situation scenarios and to do with the mechanics of the world, perhaps, the mechanics of people's thoughts, the way that they interact with you or interact with others, you may see as being something of a charmed light, something which actually helps others to reflect their own inner pathway. However, what you may well also be identifying within this situation is a great many people who actually try to, in essence, not really belittle others, but what they try to do is to become higher or closer to the source of whatever imagining this may be. Now, so then, if we say that it's a team of engineers, and this team of engineers are very good at what they do. They put together different things, different concepts, different realities. They're able to work miracles, really, with their engineering skills into being able to understand exactly what facilitates a certain given outcome. So that if they want, say, for example, to produce a certain piece of equipment which will enable them to wrap a pat of butter, shall we say, and that is something which is then designed, they will always come to the best situation, which is to very methodically plan it out. However, in other situations, you may have times when people of great notoriety, perhaps, may even just take one cursory look at such and such a design and say, well, yes, this bit fits here, but it doesn't actually fit with my own scheme and thought process. Even if that person has only looked at it as a cursory look and has maybe just for 30 minutes or so observed this plan, and yet you've had all of these other people slaving away over it for weeks and weeks and weeks trying to work out exactly how it would be proficient to work. What you are doing is you are using all of your humanismist energy upon that person because that person has placed themselves or been placed there upon a pedestal by many others, perhaps by the words, the plaudits they have reached, that have reached them, the plaudits of others, perhaps also in the know, also people who have long creative histories in that region. So what you are doing is you are garlanding that person to their own perception and view, and in a sense, you are allowing them the credence and free will to actually whittle away your plan or your understanding. Your divergence may not have been as fruitful and full-giving as he would have had, but that what's actually happening is that you are coming from a place of your perception and your reality, your truth, if you like. It may well be that just through this cursory look, this other person who is hailed so actually just says, well, no, this is wrong, that's wrong, and it may well be that he's right. But it also can be that it is wildly off the mark, quite simply because all of the avenues have not been really perceived and not been really thought out. So what you are then left with are situations, I am just saying hypothetically, but what you can be left with then are situations where you feel pressurized as a humanismist. You feel pressurized because you are giving of your energy toward other people and their thoughts and their views. Other people and their thoughts and their views come at, not necessarily at your beckoning, but come regardless of whether you want these energies or not. So you actually find yourself having a great deal to sort out, to look through all of this incoming data, all of this incoming information, which is actually you finding that you are sometimes at odds with these different situations, but you don't actually have time to think about them. So tends to be what then happens is that you can then become overpowered by these thoughts. There it is, your own views, your own circulation of your spirit within a self-awareness has been overtaken by somebody else's view. And you are then left with the whole situation that you feel as though you are blinded by it. This oftentimes can be a situation where people feel out of their depth, perhaps to do with, shall we say, situations to do with the mechanics of life. Maybe even the very nuts and bolts of life itself. How is it that thought can continue to survive physical death? How is it that perhaps the issuance of, or the emotion and the wherewithal of your lost children, shall we say, passed to the spirit world from some suffering event, and yet they come back as large as life with their thoughts and their feelings, almost as real as though they had never left. These are not situations which you treat necessarily wholeheartedly with honesty, because oftentimes it will be that you'll think that you are just fooling yourself and that this is just pure trickery of the mind. If you may look to certain individuals, they will give you all different kinds of scenarios as to what events have happened and how this transformation has been able to take place, all with the willing view, all with a perfectly logical explanation. And it has roundly been that for many, the logical explanation is only become strong enough when many people have the same logical explanation. Rather than necessarily looking to what the truth really is, many people tend to take whatever is given as the gospel of. So, for example, remembering that religion has a great part to play upon the human psyche. The humanismists themselves struggle with the identity of what place religion can play upon the own life, your own lifespan, and the reflection of it. It might well be that you are told or that you are thinking that your whole way of life is something of reflection, of really trying to find the peace within a self, which of course it is. And yet, for many, they will struggle with the values of one religion against another purely because you're told to do that. The hierarchy between you and it tends to be then that you are, it's as though you are one being who is being witnessed by all of the others within the group. In hesitancy, maybe. Oh, well, he's not strong enough to be a part of our group because he's being hesitant about this or that. Unless you come in with the thoughts and feelings that we have, you can't be one of us. So you have these difficulties where human beings actually struggle. And struggle even to be able to survive in their own natural world. So it will be just because one people's or a set of people have a certain given idea. Yes, I know. What we'll do is we'll take all these trees out here and we'll turn it into farmland because we need food. And we need more food because we need to be able to export food more than we actually eat. We need to sell it to other people so that we can make more, so that we can create a living for ourselves to buy more food. This is the law of stuff. And human beings are very much caught up in the law of stuff and making stuff that other people, some people need, and making a lot of other stuff that a lot of people don't need. So what you actually have then are situations of difficulty as a humanismist because you are struggling with the energy within itself because you have outsourced your own energy into thinking in terms of only what you want or desire rather than connecting with your spirit to seeking and seeing that desire being fulfilled in your reality.
Most people take the path of least resistance.
I know.
Whether in so many different avenues or, you know, something that takes less working out, less thinking about, less effort, less whatever.
Yes.
I think it was interesting that you said about the situation where you might have a really great idea and have put a lot of thought into it, but then you take it to somebody who's supposed to be an expert in that field, but because they're not on your wavelength,
they just fill it full of holes.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
And you know, that just makes everything so much more difficult, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes, and then they just simply don't see the purity of it, and they don't appreciate the complete complexion of what you have innocently given birth to. And so there you are, you limp away as though you are actually bedraggled by the whole experience of the interplay between you, and you feel not exonerated by your thoughts, but actually damned by them. And then you feel as though you are unable to survive that kind of onslaught. It's quite simply because your energy has been taken. Thank you very much. Nice, clean energy. I'll have that.
I wonder how many of our listeners can relate to the fact that, you know, maybe you're a light worker, you're on your spiritual pathway, and it's not an easy path by any stretch, no matter what you're doing, however you're working.
Yes.
And, you know, the amount of people, maybe relatives or whatever, that think, well, why don't they just go and get a proper job like everybody else, you know? It's like, they just don't see what drives you. That, you know, you can have, you know, all of these wonderful ideas about helping to change the world, and that includes helping them as well, you know.
Of course,
but they cannot see why you just don't, you know.
Why you would do that in the first place.
Yes, they haven't got that drive. But they're willing to, but on the other hand, then people like that can look at something, maybe how you are running, your business or whatever, and quite be quite handy at times to actually have a different, shall we say, that's got to be using a different side of the brain, hasn't it? So it's really good, like technically, business-wise and that sort
yes,
of thing.
Yes.
Because very often...
practical skills.
Well, yes, but very often when you have gifts of spirit or you have intuition and you have a need to serve in whatever capacity you say that is, to try and bring some spirituality and harmony into the world, you haven't necessarily got the other skills to go with it to be a successful business person. I mean, we see this time
yes.
and time again.
Yes, quite so.
So, you know, there are people with other objective views that it's quite necessary at times.
Yes, absolutely.
Especially if you can just go and see them and leave them again. You know, like, do you know what I mean?
Yes, quite so. I understand.
Rather than working with them all the time, because if you work with them all the time, then that would not work, because they would not be on the same vibrational level as you.
Well, no, quite simply because, of course, all people think differently, and you have to give them that amount of latitude to be able to give them that space so that they can feel happy in their thoughts and convictions. The problem, as I was bringing up here, was to do with the fact that sometimes or oftentimes people will be put under pressure to do one thing or one set of circumstances and create them, even though they may well be against that person's own initiative or rationale within self, quite simply because it may make a more profound sense to do that in other people's long-term sight or foresight, perhaps maybe, as you say, particularly to do with business and that kind of thing, it may well be that you have to subjugate certain situations of your life, perhaps if you are a very creative person, that you continue to concentrate upon the creativity rather than upon those matters of fixating the structure of your business and how that is going to survive, and leaving that to someone who actually deals with that kind of situation every day. Obviously, it can oftentimes become quite difficult for one secular being to integrate with another in a completely different field. I know that one has to recognize the intricacies of one's own standing and one's own creation, if you like, of their will, as well as their intellect and intelligence. As we had said before, oftentimes it will be that intelligence comes not necessarily with purely the academic level, but also is created through the relationship with the spirit, and how that physical being is being able to continue to communicate with that their spirit counterpart, if you like, which in a sense gives them an open highway to all of these other forms of information and beauty which perhaps otherwise they would not be a party to in their physical life.
Yes, I mean there are people that will go beyond their comfort zone. And there
yes.
are others that won't. I mean, we've talked before about couch potatoes and leaders and followers and, you know, that sort of thing. But there are people that won't go beyond their comfort zone.
Yes, that is quite true.
You know, and by trying to do something to please someone, not through your own motivation, is pretty silly, really, isn't it?
Well, it's difficult. It does make it very, very difficult. Yes, absolutely so, of course. And that really is where you have different pressures of energy building up and you have a difficulty in being able to make things work for either party, for either of you. So that's really when people struggle. Likewise, when I was saying and talking about the situation of people who perhaps maybe dig up trees purely and simply because they just want to plant food. And they have great incentives, maybe, to plant food or some kind of crop. I understand that large swathes of the Amazon rainforest at this very moment are being decimated even by the president of that country because he has acquired large stretches of land of that said forest that actually are purely being set aside, taken away, so that different forms of corn may be planted for the harvesting to make fuel, biofuel. And I understand that there are others who perhaps will do exactly the same thing in order to plant rice. However, in looking at one situation and establishment, you have to understand that where there have been large areas of forestation, it has generally tended to grow there because of a specific reason, not necessarily just because human beings have left it alone, but actually because it was necessarily there for the planet, for that particular part of the country, to have a structure that it had. Now, maybe it may be like, for example, within the Amazon rainforest, it actually has extremely poor soil, even regardless of all of the thousands of years of trees that have lived there. It still has a very poor soil, and that's actually because of the high moisture content and the fact that the soil is actually very thin. This means to say that it has a very low threshold of elasticity, so it breaks very easily. In exactly the same, you have situations of, as I say, with rice fields and where those previous forests had been stripped away. You have an ecological system which has broken down, and it's only a matter of time before it becomes completely eroded or even maybe swamped by some such storm, as, of course, has just happened. So the point that you're seeing here is that one set of human beings in their humanist role, are actually looking and reflecting, trying to see upon their own inner sight, trying to look within their own spirit. If those people had been left to their own devices and there had not been the pressure for them to plant more and more rice fields and take away the forest completely, then it would have been, as in some areas of that country, that they were still perfectly protected by the woodland that stood between them and the sea. And yet, in other places where they had maximized the use of their land, the elasticity of that piece of land had been broken, and the protection had been done away with, purely because the humanist viewpoint of not being in touch with the operator, the spirit, but instead had sought to see lower values of intention or other values of intention which actually had another value completely, rather than just being subsistent upon the land in an ecological way which would be enable them to live there generation upon generation. But instead of that, some people have a short-sighted view of how they are going to bring about their contact with humanity. Is it going to be a large shout which will just be short-lived, or is it going to be a long and gradual build-up of concerted effort, rightful thinking, harmonic living, and humanismist views of the spirit divine with the physical state, and really insightfully of in observation of that life and in the energies which are unleashed in that way of thinking.
So the difference between somebody, I mean, and this is the crunch, isn't it? The difference between the people who meditate and therefore make their decisions based on something that is far deeper and their higher self, from their higher self, from deep within them, is really, again, it's just another way of talking about how It is so necessary to meditate and to be coming from the right place.
Yes.
To make decisions.
Absolutely. Now, and also, of course, we do have to say that it's not just meditation. Now, some people, perhaps of a different kind of one certain set of religion or whatever, they may put their fingers in their eyes and in order to see God or whatever. It may be that they pray with their fingers in a certain configuration, sitting cross-legged upon a cushion. It may well be that they chant, and they chant words of a certain guru, perhaps as in Shushu Buddhism, or something beautiful like that. You may see all of these different thoughts and feelings, all of these different ways of communication, which even when saying a prayer, perhaps at Ramadan, or whatever other insightful way of communication that you make with God, you are also making with your spirit. And whether you plead and implore that energy of God to be enable you to think higher and better of yourself and also of others around you and of their energy, you are still connecting with those supreme energies of the universe. If you think in terms as a humanismanist in struggling with these energies and then trying to deflate yourself and seeing only the materialistic viewpoint of how you can survive it. Yes, of course, I know you have to survive it. You're a human being living on a physical existence. You have to survive it. And however you manifest that, you will try your utmost, perhaps, to keep those cherished thoughts, those cherished energies of completion, as a true humanismanist.
Thank you, Gregory.
With love and light, friend. God bless.
God bless. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show, and I'd just like to mention our website again, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. Do visit our website, and we'd love to hear from you. Do join us again on Monday on the wonderful BBS Radio. My name is Sylvie Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
$5,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.